It's time for Football Friday with Phil Savage, presented by Boyd's Royal Knight on Government Boulevard in Mobile, featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis and insights, the winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I love Boyd's Royal Knight, and I love that they bring Phil Savage to us every single Friday for Football Friday. It's my favorite time of the week, and this week, it's a good one. One of the best weeks and weekends in college football this year. Some big games to talk about. How you doing today, Phil?
I'm good, Dalton. Hope you're well. And yes, sir, welcome to the Divisional Championship Saturday in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, it's like we get a semifinal weekend just a few weeks before the end of the regular season, because by the end of this weekend, we'll know both the SEC East and West winners.
Yes, we will. It's a doubleheader tomorrow afternoon. Georgia going to Lexington, of all things. The Big Blue Nation has dreamed all season that they could get to this point, and here they are with only one loss. Win, and they are virtually in the SEC championship game. They would only have Tennessee left to clear. And, of course, Georgia is coming off their most impressive win of the season when they gobbled up the Gators last weekend in Jacksonville. And then, of course, the nightcap will be Alabama going to their home away from home, Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, to tie 28-9-2 lifetime in Tiger Stadium. They really play well, typically, when the tide goes to Tiger Town.
I cannot wait for those games tomorrow. Before we start breaking into those games, this was the first week where the college football playoff rankings were released this season. And LSU, they put them up there at number three, but what did you think of the top six that they had them ranked in this week?
I think everybody and their brother had the same six teams, maybe in a little bit of a different order after Alabama 1 and Clemson 2. I think 3 through 6, there was some debate as to who should be where. Of course, Notre Dame is still undefeated. A lot of people thought they should be 3 instead of LSU. LSU has gotten a lot of credit for their 3 top 10 wins. The misnomer in that is that 2 of those 3 wins, one was against Miami in the opening game of the season. The Hurricanes have certainly not been what people thought they might be this year. And then Auburn in September, and we know the Tigers have flipped a bit here in 2018. But they did have an impressive victory over Georgia 2 weeks ago. And on the strength of that, the Tigers are sitting here at number 3. And yet, for this game tomorrow night, they've been installed as a 14-15 point underdog against the number 1 ranked team, the Alabama Crimson Tide.
It's amazing. I've never seen anything like this Alabama Crimson Tide team. But you mentioned Auburn a minute ago. They get things kicked off on the SEC slate tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. They're playing at home with number 20 ranked Texas A&M coming to town. Auburn coming off the bye. What do you expect to see out of them tomorrow when they face a ranked team that just lost last week to Mississippi State?
Yeah, this is two teams that are both 5-3, and yet one fan base feels really good about what A&M has done this year, with the exception of the loss to Mississippi State last Saturday night. And then the other fan base is quite disappointed in their 5-3 record in terms of the Auburn Tigers. So I think it'll be really interesting to see which teams show up tomorrow at 11 o'clock local time. And because this is an important game for bowl positioning, and obviously to get to that sixth win and maybe carry some momentum into the rest of November. But for Auburn, the challenge all year has been to block in the run game and protect the quarterback. They have not been able to do that with their offensive line. And for Texas A&M, they had their most disappointing performance of the year against Mississippi State. We'll see if they can respond from that encounter and play better tomorrow morning.
You know, some Auburn fans this week started taking a glimpse at next season because former Clemson quarterback Kelly Bryant visited Auburn. It was his fourth school visit since transferring in September. Just looking ahead a little bit, if Kelly Bryant, first off, do you think Auburn would be one of his top choices? And he pretty much fits that offense. He's in that running quarterback mold that Gus Malzahn likes.
Yeah, Dalton, I think it would be a natural fit for Kelly Bryant. to come to Auburn because of that offense. The struggles for Auburn this year, some of it has been because Jarrett Stidham is not really a runner. Now, their last game, he did pull the ball a few times, and it was quite effective, even though he's not a guy that's going to run it 50 or 60 yards like a Nick Marshall or Cam Newton. But Kelly Bryant fitting that offense would definitely be a natural thing for the two parties. The concern I would have for Kelly Bryant, though, in getting ready for perhaps a shot at the NFL, is that he really wouldn't be expanding his resume based upon what people have seen him do at Clemson in that style of play. And that was something that I talked about earlier in the season when he left Clemson after four games. It would be really interesting to see, is he going to try to go expand his offensive abilities, or will he go to a program that runs an offense that fits his skill set? And it sounds like he's trying to find a place that fits his skill set more so than trying to get ready for the National Football League.
A game you discussed a little bit earlier, basically the de facto SEC East title game, number 6-ranked Georgia heading to Lexington to take on number 9-ranked Kentucky. Kentucky's had a close couple of weeks. They barely beat Vanderbilt, and then last week barely got out alive. Was it Arkansas? I can't remember who they were playing last week.
Missouri,
that's right. And Kentucky barely escaped both of those games, but the Bulldogs a 9-point favorite as they head into Lexington. What do you see in that game tomorrow?
I think this really comes down to one particular statistic, and that's third downs. Georgia is 13th in the country on defense in terms of allowing third down conversions at 30.6%. They're also 15th on offense. So Georgia's fairly proficient on third downs. Kentucky is not. Kentucky's 61st in the country on offense, 75th on defense. And for Kentucky to win this game, they're going to have to improve both of those numbers because they have to possess the football, play keep away from Georgia, and then they've got to be able to get off the field themselves in their own third down situations on defense, turn up the pass rush, and try to pressure Jake Fromm. You know, in the Georgia-Florida game, Florida never got a grip on that contest. They were never able to get Georgia slowed down in the run game so that they could unleash their pass rush. That will be the goal for Kentucky. We'll see if they can do it. I've been riding the Big Blue Nation all season long, hoping that we could get to this point, but I think the dream probably comes to an end. I think Georgia's just a better overall team. And we know that Kentucky, their last three outings, 14, 14, and 15 total points offensively, that will not be enough to get it done against the Dogs at home tomorrow afternoon.
That team that Georgia just beat last weekend, Florida, they're still ranked 11th, but they've got Missouri coming to town, and the Gators only 6-point favorites. They kick off at 3 p.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, this is also a game where we're going to see what kind of response these teams put on the field. Florida really got it handed to them by Georgia. As I said, they never really got a grip on that contest. And then for Missouri, you know, they lost on a very controversial pass interference call. It allowed Kentucky to get one play, an untimed down, and Terry Wilson throws the touchdown pass to beat Mizzou. The Tigers have yet to win an SEC contest. So,
wow.
You know, both of these squads have something to play for. I'm going to give Florida the edge because they're home. I think their crowd can at least give them a little bit of a boost at home, whereas Missouri's having to travel on the road after really a very difficult defeat where they controlled the game against Kentucky for literally 60 minutes, and still it wasn't good enough.
All right, let's talk about the big game. You'll be in Baton Rouge for this one tomorrow. Number 1-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide heading to LSU to take on the 3rd-ranked Tigers. Alabama, you mentioned it, a 14.5-point favorite. Both teams coming off byes as they normally do. What are you looking for from the Alabama Crimson Tide tomorrow night?
You know, Dalton, my biggest question on Alabama going into this game is we've seen a complete philosophical turnaround under Nick Saban in year 12. In previous seasons, it's been all about defense and special teams, and this year, it's all about the offense. I mean, they have mashed the accelerator from beginning to end, at least through three quarters with Tua Tagovailoa. Will they have that same approach in a hostile environment in Tiger Stadium with a raucous crowd, a lot of noise? Will they have the same freewheeling, let it all hang out there type of mentality? That's the biggest question I have, because if they do back off a degree and go from, say, 38 points down into the 20s, then perhaps LSU has a single equation that they could put together in terms of controlling the ball themselves, in terms of maybe getting some stops in the red zone against this Bama offense, and then obviously turnovers are always a big part of this contest. But for me, that number one question is, will Alabama have the same approach against LSU that they did against Louisiana Lafayette, that they did against Tennessee? I think they will, but the bottom line reality is that this is going to be a different experience for Alabama than they've had all season long. The other thing I'd point out, Dalton and Kelly, is for LSU, I think you might see a strategy employed by them where they really back off and play a conservative brand of defense, and they invite Alabama to try to run the ball. In other words, they give the look defensively to say, okay, Alabama, we're going to let you run the ball. We don't think you have the patience this year to drive it 10 or 12 plays because you've been such a quick strike offense. We don't think you're willing to do that this year, and we think we can create a turnover over the course of 10 or 12 plays versus playing man-to-man and allowing you to throw it over our head. So those first two or three drives, the first quarter, I think is going to give us a big indication as to how both teams approach this contest.
You know, both teams coming off byes, and Alabama's so deep that most injuries don't really affect the team, but they have been walking kind of wounded this year. I know Devontae Smith has that hamstring injury, and of course Tua with the knee. He's been wearing the knee brace for several weeks now, and even backup quarterback Jalen Hurts had a minor surgery on his ankle, I guess a high ankle sprain. How big were those 2 weeks off to get Alabama rested and a little bit healthier?
Well, they're definitely important, and it will certainly help. But, you know, that's one of the questions about the offense with Jalen Hurts possibly not being available, or at least being somewhat limited. Will they allow Tua to just drop back over and over again in the face of this LSU pass rush? You know, I think that one of the questions that we talked about on the SEC channel over on SiriusXM yesterday afternoon is, would Tua get into the fourth quarter? I think he will. Not only because I think it'll be a more competitive contest, and I'm not saying that I think Alabama wins handily, but I think that Tua will stay out there in the fourth quarter. And the other thing is, you know, I'm not sure how prepared or how ready Jalen Hurts will be. I mean, look, if they can wave the magic wand on a high ankle sprain with a minor procedure, whoever did that's about to become a rich man, because high ankles are typically 5 or 6 week recoveries.
Yeah, pretty impressive if he walks out there on the field tomorrow. And a couple more games I want to get to before we let you go, Phil. Outside of the SEC top 25 matchups, number 5-ranked Michigan has looked really, really good this year. And they have Penn State coming to town tomorrow. Penn State's ranked 14th. Haven't looked as good offensively without Saquon Barkley in that backfield. What have you seen from Harbaugh and the Wolverines this year?
Well, first of all, they really do have an outstanding veteran defense led by Chase Winovich and a number of other seniors. And then offensively, the first game of the year, we saw them trying to run their pro-style attack under Jim Harbaugh that he's accustomed to running with a spread quarterback in Shea Patterson. He looked extremely uncomfortable. They were not productive against Notre Dame. They lost that game. Since that time, we've really seen them merge these two systems and put some things in place for Shea Patterson to have some success. He's coming off his most efficient game of the year against Michigan State, and this will be the really, in many ways, the final test for Michigan prior to their season ender against Ohio State. But I think they get this game at home. I think they'll be able to control Trace McSorley and this Penn State offense. It's just not quite as good as it was a year ago. Look, they had a ton of players leave the program, move on to the NFL, and they've taken a little bit of a step back this year.
Well, I think college football is so much more fun when Michigan and Notre Dame are in that college football playoff conversation, and they certainly are right there. this year. Thank you so much for joining us, Phil. And if everyone wants to check out your book, just a great book you have out, it's just over a year old now, Fourth and Goal Every Day. I know it's in bookstores and on Amazon, the podcast Football Philosophy. And now you're the general manager, the Arizona Hotshots in the newly formed Alliance of American Football Pro League. But I know you're not out in Arizona this weekend. You're there in Louisiana with two big games coming up this weekend. Hope you have a great weekend checking out that Alabama game and New Orleans and L.A. playing on Sunday. Should be a good one.
Yeah, Rams and Saints on Sunday followed, of course, after the LSU-Alabama game Saturday night. And I was actually in Arizona for a few days earlier this week. We had our first round of coaches' meetings with Rick Neuheisel, our head coach, and then a couple names that most fans are familiar with. Nick Aliotti, the legendary Oregon defensive coordinator, will be calling signals for our defense. And then Hugh Freeze, former Ole Miss head coach, mm-hmm. will be calling plays for us on the offensive side of things.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am to check out that new league, and you guys get cranking right after the Super Bowl the next week. Is that correct?
That's correct. Our first weekend is February the 9th and 10th, and the Hot Shots will play host to the Salt Lake Stallions on Sunday, February the 10th, the weekend after the Super Bowl.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us, Phil, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, thanks, Dalton. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Phil Savage. And, of course, since it's Friday, that was Football Friday right here on FM Talk 106.5, presented by Boyd's Royal Knight. Check them out on Government Boulevard. A great place to check out games, get some good food and good beverages. That's Boyd's Royal Knight. 8:23 now, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and we roll on right after this. Thank you, Kane. 8:29. This is FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on this Friday. This segment of the show brought to you by our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett's local franchisee. He's got his crew there at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and they do work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you aren't familiar and you can't tell from the name, if you have a bunch of junk, you don't know where to take it, if you can't move it because of its size, or if it's junk and you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster, you know, like some of those TVs, old TVs that may not work, if you don't know whether the screen should actually be thrown away like it's a piece of junk or not, well, the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK have you covered. And one of the best things about using Trey and the crew, you make your appointment, they show up exactly on time. They don't give you one of those four-hour windows of when they may or may not show up. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll be there exactly when you expect them. And the price you get quoted is the price that you'll pay. So once again, to get a quote, set up your appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. We'll be coming to the phones here at the bottom of the hour. Right now it's 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5. And on our website, FMTalk106.5.com, the three big things. Find out more about President Trump coming to Pensacola tomorrow for Make America Great Again rally. Supposed to get started at 6:30. The gates open at the Pensacola International Airport at 3:30, but the president will be in town as he continues that campaign swing before the midterms next week. Also, Pitbull attacks Mobile woman and seriously injures her hands. They were using the word severed in news reports yesterday, but that was the first of two dog attacks in our area. And the third big thing, Tennessee man's last words in the electric chair, let's rock. That's Edmund Zikorsky, first electric chair in the state since 2007. We'll be back. More Mobile Mornings on the way. Thank you, Kane. 836 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive. Talk to our buddy Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. And part of the reason I'm doing so great, the weather outside feels fantastic right now. Great day to come out and walk the lot at McConnell Automotive.
Man, I tell you, I don't think anybody's going to be sweating, Dalton, walking around McConnell Automotive today. So we always like to joke that when it's raining, it's a great time to shop for cars. When it's sunny, it's a great time. It's always a great time. But honestly, it's a lot more fun this time of year to come out and look. We've got almost 300 units in stock. And I think, Dalton, the thing that's exciting is we have some of the 2018 models left that people are saving crazy money on. And we had the biggest sale of the year just in October, and we're extending it through November.
And you got a great website where everyone can check out the inventory, McConnellAutomotive.com. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, we've got some really cool things nobody else around has, like the all-terrain Yukon. Nobody's seen one of those because McConnell's the only one. We have the new 2019 trucks. So, Dalton, anybody that wants to check our prices or what's happening with the pictures on how cool some of these unique GMCs look, just go to McConnellAutomotive.com with two C's, two N's, and L's, and let Google be your friend. But, yeah, man, everybody loves our website. We're just very appreciative of all the people going there to shop.
All right, we appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great football weekend, buddy.
Planning on it. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. All right, 8:37 now on FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings rolls on this Friday. And we head back to the phone lines right now. We got Bill calling from downtown Dog River. Good morning, Bill.
Hi. I found the story about the lady who was mauled by the pit bull interesting. For about 2.5 years, we've had the same situation, three houses down from me. We've got a nest of thugs that are openly drug dealing. They're raising pit bulls. They used to fight them in the yard. They've stopped doing that. A neighbor of mine was bitten about a month ago when she went out to check her mail. Now, we have called MPD about the dog fighting and the game.
Well, you there? All right, looks like we just lost Bill. I don't know what happened to his phone there. Yep, there he goes. Well, Bill, call back and we'll get you back on the air. But he's referencing there were actually two dog attacks yesterday. Really strange day in Mobile. But the first one that he was discussing there, I believe, a 51-year-old woman, she was attacked by one of her dogs. This was yesterday at around 5 p.m. off of Government Boulevard on Knob Hill Drive. And this was such a bad attack. They said that she's suffering from partial amputation to both hands and severe bleeding. But we actually have that linked through on our website, fmtalk1065.com, and somebody who's close to the family told WKRG that the dog did belong to the woman who was attacked, and that person said that the dog has a history of not getting along with other dogs, which we've seen in so many other dogs, you know, and this woman was apparently trying to separate the dog that attacked her from the others when it turned on her, and it's a fat, not necessarily a big muscled up, but a fat pit bull that I saw them leading out of the house, animal mm-hmm. control, mm-hmm. and this was such a bad attack, police actually had to break the windows of the home to get the woman out from the attack. Looks like Bill is back on the line, and let Bill finish what he was saying. Hey, Bill, I don't know what happened there. Are you there? Hey, Bill? All right. I don't know if something's going on with our phones in there, Philip, or what's going on, but trying to get Bill back on. Bill, you there? All right. We'll keep working on that.
And I would say, we're all dog lovers here, and as long as it has teeth, you know, dogs can go in a totally different direction, trained or untrained. And so understanding what may have provoked that dog, what may have happened before that, will help, you know, those who are investigating this situation better understand, what led to that event. But that's horrible that she went through such a vicious attack.
Yeah, and the second dog attack that happened yesterday, that was yesterday evening, and this was at Sea Pines Mobile Home Park. A woman was brought to a hospital in a personal vehicle with an unknown extent of injuries. They don't know what breed that dog was or how that attack happened or even how dangerous her injuries are, but obviously that first dog attack, really, really brutal. And it always comes, the discussion is always pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it all the time. There are more pit bull attacks than other breeds. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like so many other conversations that we have. I think that big, muscled-up dogs, they will do more damage when they attack you. My Boston Terrier, he's never attacked anyone. Mm-hmm. He has, you know, chewed on my hands a little bit when we start playing and he gets a little bit rough. But mm-hmm. obviously a full bite and a full-on attack right. from my little 23-pound Boston Terrier isn't going to do the same kind of damage that grown pit bull will do to a woman or to a child or even to a man when they attack. But it's usually the pit bulls that aren't raised correctly that act like this, the ones that either had some kind of event in their past mm-hmm. that caused them to be extra skittish. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to like so many other stories that aren't always dog attacks, but humans not putting their dogs in the right position to, you know, you don't want to have an aggressive pit bull around a child. It's just something you don't want.
You don't want to have an aggressive anything.
No.
I mean, they're known as the nanny dogs because they like to, you know, walk around children and protect them. But I just think that it's very easy to stereotype when you talk about anything, right? You know, pit bulls are this, and Boston Terriers are this, and poodles are this. But as long as they can't talk to us and they have teeth, anything is possible. Anything is, and there's always a first time. There's always room, I should say, for it to be the first time for anything. Mm-hmm. And what you never want to hear anyone's attacked by anything, and you pray that she recovers. But I think that our dog lovers in the audience, when they hear stories like this, their next question is, well, what's going to happen to that dog?
Right. And usually the dog is put down, and mm-hmm. this is like this. Mm-hmm. And you have a family pit bull, Felix, the cutest, sweetest dog there is. But personally, and you've got Felix, your children are bigger children. You don't have a toddler walking around the house.
No, we have 13, 13, and 14.
Right. So they're old enough that I wouldn't be as worried if there was a little toddler, and I'm not specifically, Felix would never hurt a fly, but I would not
try to get in our house.
A fly is the wrong answer. A bad person, he would probably try to hurt. But me personally, you know, with mm-hmm. a baby on the way, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out and try to get a new pit bull and train it with a baby on the way. You have to know kind of where you are in life, whether you have the time to properly train a dog that can be dangerous like that.
That's like with anything. When you need something, that's not the time to try to learn it.
No.
Okay? If you have a big party, that's not the time to try to learn your new stereo system.
Right.
You spend weeks before that so you get it, you understand it. If there's issues, you know how to troubleshoot. So shame on you as an adult if you have so many new dynamics in your life and you decide to, oh, let me bring something else into it. Then it's like you're waiting for something to happen. I think that it's important to remember that when you train dogs and the way you raise children, I mean, there's consistency is key. Mm-hmm. Discipline is key. We make no secret of that. We believe in these things. And so it's not by happenstance that we just happen to have, pets that listen. You have to stay on top of them. You can't be lazy about it. You can't take anything for granted. These pets need to understand their place.
Right.
And their place is to protect our family. Now, if you choose to step into our home or into, you know, our area and try to come at us as our family, well, then you will meet him in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same with my Boston Terrier. I didn't mention that. The Boston Terrier will tear you up if you...
See?
Probably. Not really. That's why I have the other
Don't
dog.
Get people riled up.
Let's try Bill in downtown Dog River. I'm going to try you one more time. Don't know what's going on with our phone system. Are you there, Bill?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay.
How about you?
Finally here. We got you back on. So finish your thought. I'm sorry that we got cut off there.
All right, that's fine. Yeah, we have a house that's still ongoing down the street where they raise pit bulls to fight. They used to fight them there, and when a dog was loose, they would just turn it loose.
Oh,
wow.
And twice I've been confronted by bleeding.
Oh, his phone.
He's in Dog River. I think that might be part of the big issue
here. His
cell
service is dropping. But I mean, right there, that's illegal activity, right?
Right.
I mean, and so if you're around people who are doing something illegal, the last thing they're thinking about is you and your safety.
And being a member of the Next Door app, you know, my favorite app, I talk about it all the time. Uh-huh. But that is a major issue here in Mobile and other towns. People letting these dogs just, you know, walk out of their backyard, letting them walk around neighborhoods. And specifically in my neighborhood, it seems like once every 2 or 3 weeks, either a person is bitten by a loose dog, mm-hmm. or more often, because we have, you know, such nice sidewalks in our area, people are always out walking their dogs, right. or they have their children in their strollers.
Yeah.
And these loose dogs come out and attack. They attack and kill dogs and cats. And these are people's loved dogs that they're doing everything right. They're out walking them, out taking care of them. And these other dogs are loose and aren't being taken care of and are killing them.
Those dogs are doing what they're supposed to do. Unfortunately, they haven't been trained differently. And so it's like they're reverting back to what they're supposed to do. That is not okay. No. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. And you think about the people who wear, you know, their headphones as they're running or jogging. They may not even see a dog come storming toward them. So safety is key. These people have to be dealt with in a particular way if you're doing some illegal activity. Dogs, drugs, you name it. It's not okay.
Right. 8:46. We're coming back to the phones. We got a couple on the line. James, David, hang on, and we'll get to you right after this. It is 8:46 on FM Talk 106.5, and we'll wrap up this Friday edition of Mobile Mornings right after this. Thanks, Kane. 8:51 as we wrap up Mobile Mornings for this week. It is Friday, November the 2nd. I want to remind you, Cottage Hill Package Store knows that it's party and get-together season, and they want you to know that they can make all of that so much easier for you. Cottage Hill Package Store has you covered for all of your craft beer, wine, spirits, and cigar wants and needs. But they can also take care of the big party people, and they're ready to take your beer keg orders right now. They're filling the orders as we speak. They regularly carry a great selection of domestic beers, and you can order just about anything in their distribution network, too. So if you go ahead and start thinking about not having to deal all of those bottles to stuff into the coolers for the parties coming up, deal with all those bottles to stuff in the cooler, call today, order your keg, and then go ahead and get everything else you need, because Cottage Hill Package has every single thing that you could need for an excellent party, no matter what the occasion, whether it's a Thanksgiving party, an office get-together, whatever you may be planning. And also remember, they have their fantastic Havana Rays Lounge in the back that's perfect for holiday parties. Cottage Hill Package is ready to help you plan the party. Go ahead and call them and put together a big order to pick up any of the special kegs or other craft beers and liquor and wine, all that selection. 251-660-1066. That's 251-660-0166, or message them on the Facebook page. Just search Cottage Hill Package Store on Facebook. They're on Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, and then Havana Rays Cigar Shop and Lounge on Airport in Midtown, ready to make you look really good when it comes to tailgating, holiday parties, or just having the best setup home bar in town. That's Cottage Hill Package, Mobile's favorite locally owned and operated package store, humidor, and lounge. And we go back to the phones, where guy I haven't talked to in a little bit here, James the Engineer, calling from Mobile. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Mr. Dalton. How are you guys doing, Miss Kelly?
Hi, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yeah, I was talking to a lady. I'm going to jump on a few things here. I want to talk about the dog thing, too. But talking to a lady yesterday at one of these gas stations, she worked there, and she said, you know what this rain's all about, don't you? I said, no, what are you talking about? She said, well, you know, the causeway's flooded. I said, yeah. She said, this is the Crimson Tide coming in to play the football game.
They'll be ready tomorrow night, I'm sure, but that'll be a good one between the Crimson Tide and LSU Tigers.
There's no doubt. My prediction is we'll kind of the pace will probably pick up around the middle of the third quarter to the fourth. We'll go back to this kind of, I call it fashion or style, that we kind of win the game in the latter part. LSU is a really tough team. I question a lot of things sometimes when we play them, you know, little questionable things there on that. We wind up always with a lot of players sometimes hurt after a game with LSU, and I don't understand why that is. It seems to be a routine when we play them. Yeah. Going back to the dog thing, you know, I'm ex-military, and a lot of it is people have an attitude that, you know, my dog's okay, he's okay with the kids, but he's not trained. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, to have one trained makes a big difference. Although squirrels, little small things,
yeah,
especially with dogs like pit bulls, in their nature, it's their nature to go after something like that. It's just that, you know, attack mode kicks in, I go chase it. And even some of the best trained dogs tend to break their training to go do this, because it can even represent a territorial problem. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing with a lot of animals is territorial. As long as they're with you, and I have cats. I had a dog. I lost him in the last year, but I have cats. And I watch these cats. Kind of, it's unique to watch them. I made a trip walking in the evening after dark and didn't think about what I was doing. The next thing I know, I have a large amount of cats. I have 8 cats following me. they become attached to you, just like dogs. And it's like, you know, as long as we're with him, everything's cool. Well, same way with a dog. But a dog is just, he has that nature in him. You know, it's almost like a military training thing. Some guys come out, part of the PTSD is to overreact to a situation because of their training. And dogs flip, mm-hmm, is that they're trained not to do anything, you know, listen to your commands, but the nature and the instinct of nature is to, you know, be on the alert or attack for territorial. You're my boss, you're my buddy, you're my friend, I'm gonna protect you. But I do have a issue with people. It seems like a lot of people just don't feel like there's a need, as long as the dog's okay at the house and the family. But, you know, and just like we neglect things sometimes, we've had a situation here in Mobile where a child was lost because of neglect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it, somebody that walked out
thinking
everything would be okay for a few moments.
Yeah. And, it only takes a moment.
Same way with animals. We give them liberty. We would like for them to have free spirit and liberty. We give them a few minutes. But anything outside of our realm that we don't realize can happen when we give them that free liberty, even when they're trained, because they know, okay, I'm okay. I can go out and do what I want to do right now. I'm not in training, or I'm not being commanded to do anything.
Yeah, that's a great call, James. I agree with a lot of your points. And people try to give dogs and other animals human characteristics too often, and
they're not
assume they know exactly what's going to happen. But like you said with the squirrel, every single day, I let my Boston Terrier, he waits. It's like a horse at the starting gate. He waits there at the back door. And I let him go, and he chases those squirrels all the way down the fence line, nearly decapitates himself occasionally on a couple trees that we have hanging around. But that was a good call from James.
It was fantastic, right on point. I just want to remind, you know, our friends who are listening that even if you do train your pets, they still need to be recalibrated, you know, because like he's saying, you train them, they listen, but all of a sudden something can distract them, and there needs to be something in their life where you can recalibrate them. And if that means holding them on the leash a certain way, that means not having them outside during a certain time, or whatever it is that works for you, because everybody has their own thing. But I just think it's important to not be comfortable. It's like with anything, you know, part of life is change. And these pets, as they get older, maybe they lose their hearing. Maybe they have different trigger points that they didn't have when they were a little bit younger. But the point is to stay on top of it. It will help you keep your family safe. And it's just better for all people. But what we can't do is be a disposable society where, oh, I don't want this dog anymore. Let me just let it out.
Yeah.
The dog's going to go somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Before we head out, this is your biannual reminder. Turn those clocks back.
That's right.
It's this weekend. What is it? Sunday morning?
2 a.m.
Okay, 2 a.m. Sunday morning. Yep. You will fall back 1 hour.
Right.
Don't let it affect. Don't have jet lag on Sunday. That's all I've heard this morning.
Or don't be late to work on Monday.
Yeah, do not be late to work on Monday. I'm going to set like 5 alarms, I think, Monday morning.
Just make sure you're in the right time zone.
Yeah, good point. I don't want to wake up on the Eastern time. Actually, I'd be good if I did that.
Yeah.
Just not Pacific time. But that is coming up.
Or Mountain Standard time.
It is time to change the clock backs this Sunday, and it's time for the Laurie Ingram Show. They're coming up here at 9, and then Midday Mobile with Jeff Poore coming up after that.